are going to do what's actually very hard to do, and that's Chazara. We're actually up to Sif Yud Daled. Sif Yud Gimel last week, I told you, was when the third party was a kula, when the third party does the paying, and Sif Yud Daled is going to be a chumra, which we're going to get to momentarily. But first, I'd like to review. This is written very briefly, and we'll try to go through the 13 sifim, but some of the sifim did not have chidushim in halacha. They were more of the, you know, kol ha'noisin beribis, the chasam mismaititin, that type of thing. So I actually have here on the sheet only 10 sifim of the 13. So we'll review it, and it's Hashem, next week we'll have a bechina on, it'll be good, no? And, are you so afraid? Actually, the bechina is Lachem Eivashim, so don't bother. Just to review it, again, we don't expect to become big experts in all of Hilchos Ribbis just from an hour a week, but still, this is just the basics. The basic idea is Sif Aleph Isser, the next word there is La'arev, not La'arev. It's an Isser for the Arev, for the guarantor on a Ribbis loan, and on the Eidim, and on the Cipher, on the one who draws up the contracts. By Ribbis Deiraisa, it's also no matter what, because there's a Riboy Hakra, that if, from the Pasuk we learn out that you're not only are you, we're not even talking about Lifnei Iver, not only Lifnei Iver, we're talking about the Etzem Issa Ribbis, that the Issa Ribbis applies to all of these people, to the person who the lender, the borrower, the guarantor, the witnesses, and the cipher. To be a Messiah, which means that the deal could have been done without you, the common case of a lawyer who's drawing up documents. So to be a misayaya by Ribbis Deiraisa yesh lahako b'makam tzairach. Now it's written here very briefly. Really, if someone's a lawyer, he can, as a lawyer, he can help in arranging the loan. But to actually be the cipher, to physically draw up the contract, it would be better that he should have one of his gayisha workers do it, to physically draw up the contract. But generally, what the lawyers do, I think, is push a button Right, I once set up a trust. So my father now wanted to set up a trust. So we went to a lawyer that we know. He set up a trust. He comes back next week. He's got the documents. So I forgot the numbers exactly. He said something like $750. So he said, "You should know it's really $1,500. Just, you know, since we're friends, you should just know it's $750. I look at the paper. I say, "Don't you have this on the computer? And you just type in the other person's name instead of the previous person's name, and you push a button and it prints out?" He said, "Yeah, that's what we do. But to set up a trust costs, you know, costs $1,500. So be that as it may, you get someone else to type in the few words. You pay them $10 an hour, or the secretary of $20 an hour, so you pay them for their 10 minutes. And then most of the money you can make anyway. But Ribbis Deiraisa yesh lahako b'makam tzairach. Now, what? Pushing a button? No, pushing the button is awesome. I'm saying, if you get someone else to push the button, it'll cost you a lot of money. You know, you don't pay somebody $1,500 to push a button. What you're paying him is the $1,500 for knowing which button to push. That's why he gets $1,500. You know, it's not for what? Which finger to use? Yeah. So that yesh lahako b'makam tzairach, again, to review the all-important kula of the shach. The kula of the shach and the Nadi Yehuda, which any lawyer pretty much has to rely on in many of the different types of business deals. If you draw up a business contract which involves working on Shabbos for Frum Yidden, you do things which are misayaya. Generally, if he didn't come to you, he could go to another lawyer. So that's not Lifnei Iver, right? And Lifnei Iver is only if it's Chad Iver, if it's Trey Iver Denara, if you're the only person that can do the deal. But if someone else could do it, so then that's called Misayaya. If you don't do it, someone else will do it. That's Misayaya. And the Kula of the Shach is that if the people involved are not from people, that people that are don't care about the yisur, you're not giving a minister which they wouldn't have, or even a tenek shenishba, it means that they're not worried about the yisur. If they're not worried about the yisur, and you'll be saying, yeah, yeah, the shach holds that the chazal weren't guys and say, yeah, yeah, they ever have era on a mumer. And that's Yesh Lahokah B'makam Tzairach, the Magen Avraham argues, but L'maisa, there's a kula. The same thing, Beribis D'Rabbanon, Leke Issa Elo Lefnei Yiver, Beribis D'Rabbanon, the Ramah said, there's only Lefnei Yiver, there's no Issa, Rabbanon didn't create Issurim on the other parties. And there, it's Mutter, even without a Makam Tzairach, B'chad Iver Denara, that means another lawyer could have done it, Umal V'Mumer, and relying on the Shach, there's already a Shavah D'Rabbanon. So by a drabanan, there you could be makel. Most business deals that people go to lawyers for are ribis drabanan, because any ribis that's not part of a loan, but part of a purchase, or part of a rental, or part of payments for services, that's all ribis drabanan. Ribis deraisa has to be derech halva, and ribis derech mekach, if it's part of a business transaction, that's always a drabanan. So that in probably 90% of the situations where a lawyer is involved, it'll be a case of ribis d'rabbanan. And in such circumstances, you have this heter of chadiv denara if the malv is a mummer, which is often the case. So that is the outline of what we discussed in Sif Aleph. We went off to some of the variations on it, but I got married. My wife had a grandfather. He used to say the Chulin Shir in Baba, Big Talmud Chacham. So he told me that when he was young, he wanted to know Shas with all the Mefarshim. Then when he got a little older, he felt, you know, he just wants to know Shas with Rashi and Taisus. And then when I met him, he was already in his older years, he says, not worried so much about Rashi and Taisus anymore, I'll be happy if he knows a little bit of Shas. You know, it's so originally he got through with all the Pratim. And Bechazara, you try at least to chazer the Rosh HaProkim, the main points, and these are the main points of Sif Aleph. We skip down to Sif Dalid. In Sif Dalid, we learned these two rules of two conditions that make something ribis d'rabbanan. One, ribis she'ena k'tzutza, is a d'rabbanan. It's an important phrase which really everybody should know. Ribis k'tzutza is ribis which was established at the time of the loan. Kotzutz means it was set. The time you borrowed money, you said, I'll pay you back, I'll give you an extra 3%, or I'll give you an extra 13%, and I'll give you an extra certain amount of cash. That's called kitzutza. Ribis she'ena kitzutza means ribis that it is not established at the time of the loan. It's a free loan. And later, a person is adding ribis. That's a derabbanan. That's also a derabbanan. The second thing is ribis derech mekach, as the Rabban I just mentioned. Any ribis that's part of a business deal, even if it's out-and-out credit, if you go into a grocery store and you buy something, you put it on credit, or you make a purchase, a major purchase, and you have a mortgage on the purchase, that is ribis d'rabbanan. Any ribis that comes derech mekach, where there's a charge for paying for the mekach later, that is ribis d'rabbanan. So these are two things that could make something ribis d'rabbanan. If it's not katzutz, even if it's a loan, or if it's ribis derech mekach, even if it is katzutz.
You have to return the ribis.
We'll get to returning it, one second. What the chiddush of Sif Dalid was, shneyam yachad, if you have both together, meaning that the person gave you credit on a purchase, and there was no ktsutza for ribis. The fellow was nice enough in the store, the grocer gives you credit. So then you're allowed to be maisif, you're allowed to give him something in gratitude. But tonight, she'ene mefarish, that you don't say, this is thank you for giving me credit. And it's a davar mu'it. And it has to be maisif schaira, that you add schaira, which means to give cash is still aser. But this is common in business. Sometimes you have a business and you take something. I know the bakeries, we all think that all the bakeries are at each other's throats, you know. But my father in the bakery business, If one bakery runs out of yeast or flour, well, flour they don't usually run out of, but they run out of one of their products, so they go to the other bakery and they take from the other one, and they generally, and then you give it back. So there, where you're taking, with naktsutza, you didn't arrange to pay extra, and it's derech mekach, it's done as sort of, it's done derech mekach, then you're allowed to give back extra schayra afterwards. Actually, this particular case is called Sa B'Sar. We have to get to the details. Actually, the case of Shulchan Aruch is that you pay for something ahead of time. You pay ahead of time. You go into the store, you buy something, you pay ahead of time. And later, when he delivers it, he gives you extra schayra in the delivery. And really, there's a feeling that he did it because you paid ahead of time. But as long as it wasn't katzutz, and you're not mefarish, it's a davar mu'etz, it's not obvious, this is the cooler that we had here in Sifdal. Now, you asked about paying back ribis. Again, the rule of thumb, and we're going to get to the pratim, is ribis deraisa, you're obligated to pay back. Ribis deraisa, you must pay back. Ribis derabanan, you're chayev bedine shamayim, to pay back, but not bedine adam, which means that you should pay it back, but bezdin can't be mechayev you to pay back if it's ribis derabanan. That's the rule of thumb. There are certain types of ribis which are mokuladik, which we haven't gotten to yet, where you don't have to pay back at all. But generally, ribis deraisa, you must give back. Ribis derabanan, the case I told you with the flowers, right, where somebody lent someone money in the store, somebody was buying, he ran out of money, so he borrowed money from the person behind him in the store, and it was Erev Yantif. So they sent them the money back on Erev Yom Tov, right before Yom Tov, and they sent them flowers along with it. So that's ribis she'ena ktsutza, but it's ribis. So they asked me they have to give it back. So I told them they did. So Mendy had his idea that you give it back after Yom Tov. In the meantime, just keep it on the table. The flowers, you know, you just keep it on the table for safekeeping, and you give it back after Yom Tov. But there is an obligation to return what is the Shemayim Ribis the Rabbanon in Sif Hei.
That's the, look, they have it, he sent it right before Yom Tov, he can't, there's no time to return it. Would he have to after Yom Tov to go out and
return its value?
I wouldn't have bought the flowers.
I wouldn't have bought the flowers. You mean the flowers may not be worth much to you? The truth is, you don't have to return it. You can call him up and tell him come pick it up. Yeah, I'm not accepting it, and you pick it up. You know, it's then as far as the mammon is, what?
If you listen to labels, can you carry it to his house on Yom Tov?
Can you carry it to his house on Yom Tov? If he'll enjoy it on Yom Tov, why not? Just like anything else, you can carry it on Yom Tov. Sifhei, the chiddush was mechila mahani im kvar nosen ribis. If it's too late, the ribis was given already, then being meichel helps, you don't have to return it. And that's okay. The exception, Nasan Ribis Kaidem Akera. Now that's not so clear from the way it's written here. Nasan Ribis Kaidem Akera was the case I mentioned where someone borrows $1,000 and he borrows $1,000 for a year and he's going to pay back $100 a month. So if you ask an accountant, he'll say, well, the $100 a month is, however you figure it, it's let's say the first month, I don't know what the correct numbers are, let's say it's the first month it's $20 interest, $80 interest and $20 principal, right? That's how a schedule of payments goes. Every month there's a amortization of the payment. Now, that technically it may be that way. It may be that technically, if you calculate the way the arrangement was made, the first month, $80 interest, $20 is principal. But halacha does not look at it that way. Halachically, if you lend me $1,000, I owe you $1,000. I said I'll pay you back $1,200, $100 a month. That was an isser, the obligation. I'm not obligated to pay you the $200. I still only owe you $1,000. When I give you $100 the first month, even though I'm saying, I may even say verbally, $20 is principal, $80 is interest. But since the $80 interest, I'm not mechuyev to pay, and you really have to return it to me. So we look at it as not being interest. Since I owe you $1,000 and I handed you $100, that $100 is calculated off the top of the principal that's owed. And this is a very common situation with people who made the mistake of using someone else to arrange a line of credit or a mortgage. Let's say a father signed a mortgage for the son, and the son is paying, and he comes after a year, he says, "Now I didn't realize, but it was ribbis d'oraisa, the father's lending money to the son." So at that point, after a year, no ribbis was paid, because if you have a 25 or 30 year mortgage, whatever you paid the first year is just calculated off the principal, and no ribbis was paid yet. They still have to straighten things out so that you can continue paying. So eventually, you'll pay up the whole principal and... however many years it is. But the point is that calls a man that you didn't pay up the principal, whatever you gave is ribbis.
So,
well, the longer you wait, the bigger the problem. People call me with this problem very often. No, because what we do is this. Let's say, just pick an example. Somebody took a $100,000 mortgage, and his son is buying a house, so the father took out a $100,000 mortgage to help the son, because the son has no credit line, and the father has a credit line. So the father took out a $100,000 mortgage for the son. Now, the son, on a $100,000 mortgage, is paying, let's say, $1,000 a month, roughly. So he's paying $1,000 a month for the $100,000 mortgage. So a year went by, 2 years went by, he paid already 2 years' worth. So he calls me, he says, "You know, I just realized it's an issue." So if it's 2 years out of the 20 years, so you're still okay. What do we do? We call the father and the son together, and we establish the fact that the son only owes the father $76,000. He paid $1,000 a month for 2 years. He paid $24,000. The remaining balance the son owes the father is $76,000. The father takes a look at his bill of the $100,000. After 2 years, he still owes the bank, what is it, $96,000. So the father says, "What am I going to do? You know, this wasn't my arrangement." So, if the father wants to say, "Okay, well, it's $20,000 between me and you," then he can do that. It's not always the case. What can be done is the following. What can be done is you can't make a heta iska retroactively. There's no such thing as a retroactive heta iska. There's one Rav in Flatbush that was doing retroactive iskas. I think he stopped because, I once spoke to him about it. He said, "Why not?" But I think he stopped because I haven't heard any more complaints about it. I think a number of Rabbanim have told him. There's no such thing as a retroactive heta iska. If you give me money as a loan, we can't change it just into an iska, just like magic. What we do is we have the son pay back the $76,000 to his father so that the loan is so totally settled. And then the father gives the 70. Now the father still owes money to the bank.
Okay, why can't you write it down to
76? But you have to do a new loan. Well, you can't do it at that point because it's already extended as a loan. You can't just snap your fingers and say it's no loan anymore. So the son has to repay the $76,000 to the father, and then the father gives the $76,000 to the son back under the terms of a heta iska. Generally. The terms of the heta iska will be that he gives him back the $76,000, and the heta iska will call for payments of $1,000 a month under the terms of the heta iska, so that basically the father will end up even. Now, the question is, very often I ask the son if he happens to have $76,000 on him, so he says, like you say, "I don't have the cash on me, but I can write a check," right? For the 76. You can't write a check, there's no money in the bank, you can't write. You can write, but it's not meaningful. What we usually do is the son is makna to the father $76,000 worth of the home. The son owns the home, and he is makna with the kinyan seder. The bank has a lien on the home, but the bank.
He owns $76,000 worth of the home.
He owns the whole house, and he is makna with a kinyan seder. I got to do a kinyan seder and a kinyan shtar. There's a shita that in a medina where it's a derech to write a shtar, you can't do a kinyan with just sudr alone. So I do sudr and shtar, and if the son pays the father by giving him $76,000 worth of the house. Now, typically, the father would now turn around and give it back to the father, the son, under the terms of a heta iska. Now, Rav Moshe has a an arrangement which is far better al pi halacha, and that is the sale lease agreement, which is that the father retains ownership of $76,000 of that worth of the house. He doesn't give it to the son. He retains ownership, and every month the son pays him $1,000, of which a certain amount is payment for the principal, he's buying the house, and the rest of it is rental for the house that the father owns. And in that way, that's called a sale lease agreement, far superior to a heta iska, because while a heta iska, there are those who didn't want to use a heta iska for whatever reasons. A sale lease agreement is 100% No, at the end he doesn't, because every month when you pay the $1,000, you're paying on a same amortization schedule. You're paying a small amount for the principal of the home. You're buying a little bit of the house. It's the same schedule. On the principal, what would normally be labeled interest is now rental, and what's principal is still principal.
But the numbers change.
The numbers change. So you have to redraw it.
That's true in sale lease.
Sale lease would also be good. It would just take you would take a little energy to do it. Well, it's not the same schedule. The bank. It's the same if you do it at the beginning as the bank schedule. Here, the principal laid up to $96,000. It has to be redressed.
Sounds very little more to talk.
It's not difficult. It can be redone even without a computer program. What? Yeah, but you're living in the house, so you do talk on the house every time.
Makes sense.
So up front, that would be
the more you own.
No, get the repair. You lock the door, right?
The less you own, the more rent you pay. So
it works out. Yeah, as it goes up, it's very good. As you pay the principal. The principal payment goes up and the rental goes down. Yeah, and the numbers usually make a lot of sense. Also, they're fair rental payments. Up front, the sale lease agreement is far superior. In Lakewood, probably more, but there are two main batei dinim. One of the batei dinim does not do heta iskas. They don't like to do heta iskas. They don't do lachat chila. They send everyone to the other best. So, but sale lease agreements they do. I was at a meeting once that has like, they use a sale lease agreement. So I was curious to see the nusach they use. I asked them for a copy, so they told me they used the one from my book. So I felt good about it. I couldn't believe in Lakewood they used something from a book without making any changes. You know, kachi darkei shel Torah, you always have to adjust things. But basically, it's... What? Why do you have to have collateral?
The
sale lease agreement is no loan. The good thing about the sale lease, you can't do a sale lease agreement on a straight loan. It's only on a house.
Right.
Yeah. If I want to borrow money to pay my bills. So the sale lease agreement doesn't work. It works on a home. It works specifically.
There's no property.
You can't do a heta iska with someone who has nothing, who has no investments at all, no home, no anything. There should be something. There should be something to hang your hat on, which there isn't always. But okay.
I did not think about the fact that bank doctors typically say that you can't transfer their collateral to anybody under the mortgage.
It's generally not a problem because generally there's enough of the house that the son owns. Although there may be times not that way.
The
Yevrep Shlomo Kluge's heter. The bank doesn't want to transfer because they want to be able to take action. So we're not in any way impeding their ability to take action because we're not filing any legal documents to stop them. The Shlomo Kluge writes such a heter in it's a famous truva. It has to do with taxes on mechiras chametz, the sales tax on mechiras chametz. That things which are done, Ramesha writes, Ramesha has the truth about this. Ramesha says that if you lend someone money with a heter iska, you're allowed to draw up mortgage documents, loan documents, because that'll facilitate your ability to collect in court. And in the heter iska, you write that the heter iska is the ikar document. But because in the courts, the heter iska, you can have headaches with the heter iska, so to facilitate the ability for payment in case there's a problem, we're drawing it up as a mortgage. Ramesh says that's 100% mutter. Between people who mean it that way. But that's okay.
I remember the marriage that
It's an interesting, a variable, how do you draw up a variable rate mortgage in a sale-lease agreement? There is a way of doing it. It can be done because the rental can be pegged. Every variable rate mortgage is, it's not really variable. The number is variable, but it's based on a fact. It's based on the 1% over prime or whatever it is. So there's always a figure that can be put in. If it's not a dollar figure, it's a figure that can be translated into dollars, so it generally can be done.
But the weird thing there is they have to say, whatever I'm paying, I'm
the rental, you're tying the rental to it. Yeah, nachinan, it's not ideal. Sale-lease agreement will work anytime real estate is involved, yeah. But it has to be drawn up properly. If it's not drawn up properly, you have a sale-lease agreement, you can technically be obligated to pay. If the house is worth $300,000 and you own $60,000 in the house, you're really responsible for 20% of the property tax and 20% of the insurance. I mean, it has to be drawn up properly. Well, you have to include it in the sale lease agreement, which is the way it should be done. All right. Sivav was already ribis mukdemes, ribis mucheres. Now, the halachas are basically identical. Again, the translation, remember, ribis mukdemes means that you gave ribis, you sent someone a gift ahead of time. You didn't say a word about a loan. Just in your mind, you want to butter him up because you know that you're going to ask him for a loan. So, memela, you give him ribis mukdemes. You give him you want to buy him an aliyah on Yom Tov, and what do you know? 2 weeks later, you're knocking on his door and you're asking for a loan. That's aser. Bedavar muet ve'einay nikar yesh makilim. There was a yesh makilim. If it's a davar muet and it's not nikar, it's not a davar hanikar, that it's mutter, it's making it a davar muet ve'einay nikar pretty much means that it takes away from the effectiveness of the ribis mukdames, which is fine. That's the whole idea. Same thing, ribis mucheres. Okay, ribis mucheres is more common. You already paid the loan. Mucheres, again, doesn't mean after the loan was taken. It means after the loan was paid. You paid up the loan, it's all done. And now, you want to send a gift to the person. So if it's nicker that you're sending a gift because you appreciate his loan, that's awesome. Yedavah mu'et ve'enay nicker, there's the Ramaz Yesh Makilin, yedavah mu'et ve'enay nicker, and that, again, somebody wants to rely on.
How long does that last?
How long does it last? So there was a tshuva I mentioned from the Shevet HaLevi. He says he can't say a time. It depends on the people. If they're people that have a lot of interaction, so they became friends and they have now a lot of other interaction, now you send them making a kiddush and you send them a kugel, so it's not connected to the loan. With someone with whom you have no shaychus, all he ever did was lend you money, you never spoke to him. So it could be even a year later, it'll be nicker that it's for the loan. So it's all dependent on the circumstance. Ribbis Mukdemes, Ribbis Mucheres is all in Issa D'Rabban. Ribbis Mukdemes, Ribbis Mucheres, we will learn when we get to it, is one of the exceptions. You don't have to pay it back, even Lotzei Yidei Shemayim. Ribbis Mukdemes, Ribbis Mucheres, you have no obligation to return. Sifav was after you finish paying, working our way backwards in time, chronologically. And Sifav, Ribis Mukdemis is beforehand, Mucheris is after you paid the loan. So Zayin is Bizman Shamaisa Biyad, you lent him money, or someone lent you money, and you still owe it, you're not paying back yet, you're going to pay, you'll pay him a year from now, or whatever arrangement you made. So Shari Lahetiv Bitanai Shaya Isa Balav Halva. You can be matif to him on the condition that you would have done it even without the loan. Anything, your relationship doesn't have to change totally. Anything you would have done beforehand, if it's a neighbor, and until now you invited him to eat at your home, or if somebody needed some sugar, you gave him something. Whatever you were doing till now, you sent him shlach manis, you're allowed to continue to do. Even though your relationship has changed to malva v'loiva, but you can still send them shlach manis and things like that. Chutz v'ferhesia. In parentheses, are liknei saliyah would be an example of something that's ferhesia. A davash of a ferhesia and shouldn't do. Oy shenehena shalemi daitai. There was another exception. If you use this thing without asking permission. The only example I could think of is
He's in Florida for a week, so you go and you use his garage. You know, you pull into his driveway. You know, in our block, if someone goes to Florida, everybody, you know, we have Caminets on the corner on Ocean Avenue, I live on East 19th Street. Parking is at a premium. So when someone goes to Florida, everyone is quick to find out about it, so you can use the driveway. So in this case, Nehenna Shalaimi Daitai, if he has permission, it's okay. He would have done it anyhow. But to use his thing, Shalaimi Daitai, sort of a farhesia, it's between you at least a farhesia. And because also not to do it, because it will end up, he'll be afraid to say something to you because he has a relationship of Malva Valaiva. People don't have to know about it, no. It's a gather, of farhesia. So that's Zman Shabbai Naisa B'yaday. Sifches was Libnei Beisai to family members. Asa Luvais, Lahalvais, Veluvais, Beribis. Sifches was that's Aser. It's interesting, in Shulchan Aruch it only said Asa Lahalvais, Beribis. Not a lendem Beribis. But the Achreinim will say that it's both ways. Now a borrow and lend Beribis, which means the example I had given you was that if you tell your son, if you give your brother the pack of candy today, I'll give you two packs of candy tomorrow. So that's a problem. That's a loan. I mean, he's not lending it to his son. He's lending it to you. And that's a problem. Matimai Tamribis. Even though he's trying to sign Bachar Shulchanai, technically, maybe whatever he owns is yours. But you're Matimai Tamribis. You're giving him the taste of ribis, and that you're not allowed. That's
you do it for something the Farhatsa to your son.
You lend no, not for Hesiel, let's say.
I
just
mean, usually you do a lot of things extra. Let's say
you do a lot of
money,
things. But
you lend your money. No, you're helping sometimes.
Okay, here the question is, if a son lends you money, so he said, whatever you would have done anyway is mutter. We said for Hesiel is also, you can't buy him an aliyah. So what happens if it's clear that it's a type of for Hesiel thing you would have done anyway? I would suspect that we would find a heter for something like that, but I'm not sure.
Are you giving your car?
If you have a car, it's only in the Shem Mitzvah Balachi, he writes, what about lending a car? Is that called nicker? People recognize your car. So he writes, only if it's a unique type of car. Let's say it's a company car that has the name on the side, or it's a 67, was it? A Chevy. And, you know, some old, unique car, so then it's okay. But other cars, I'm what it's strange today. If you ever stop to think about it, the amount of different types of cars there are, you know, you can recognize, unless the person has a minivan, you can recognize people's cars. The only thing that, like, everybody has are minivans and Lexus. You know, you have the dozens of them all over the place. But any normal, you know, the typical car, they come in so many colors. But okay, I don't know, that's what he, Rab Brown, writes, that's not called the Dover Fahesi. It's a very interesting question. Yeah, that's a very common question. People would like, when they lend someone money, to say, look, I know he's borrowing from 10 people. He's buying out. He's borrowing from 10. I know he's buying from 10. I'm happy to lend the money. I just want him to pay me first. What I'll do is I'll charge him ribis. And I'll never charge him. When he pays, I won't charge. That's called Sima Shalaibali Deguvaina. Sima, Lysa Simon Nesha. Sima, an arrangement, Shalaibali Deguvaina, which doesn't come to payment. It's a machlaikis. The Bach and the Shar Mishpat has a Sefer on Ribbis. It's got what it's called in the back of Shar Mishpat. They have a dispute as to whether that's Aser. Lamaisa, it's Aser. It's a Shar Vedaraisa. However, let's say you're a person that never uses a Hete Iska. You don't want to come on to the Kula of Hete Iska. So you go without using Hete Iskas. If you would like to make an arrangement, most people you can lend money anyway are not going to agree to pay ribbons. But you would like to drop Hete Iska, you should have to pay your percentage. And you don't intend ever to collect, you're only going to take back the principal. So here, if you always neg this Chumrah, you don't use Hete Iskas, all right, it's a chumra, you could use a hetesk. If you want to be a neigah chumra, you don't want to. But in a case where it's going to be sima shalai bali degel vaina, you could certainly be meikel. And it's terif.
I'm lending somebody money for a year.
Right.
And it's supposed to be only for a year. If you don't pay back for a year, there's no interest. If you don't pay back after a year, then there's interest. So it's only there.
All right, there's something we are going to get. There's something called, well, it's irrelevant if that's what he meant or not. But that's called ribis derech knas. There's something called ribis derech knas, which is ribis, where it's a penalty. I'm lending you money for a year, and you pay me back after the year. And if you don't keep the arrangement, I'm not charging interest. But if you don't pay back, there's going to be a knas of a certain amount of money. Again, we'll get to it. But basically, for a loan, ribis derech knas is asur. For derech nekach, ribis derech knas is permissible if it's a one-time knas. It's very common with people who have apartment buildings and they have apartments for rent, and they want the tenants to pay on time. So you have, if they don't pay on time, there's a fee. They have to pay the first or the 15th, whatever, of the month. If they don't pay on time, so there's a fee. So that's mutter l'chatchila. Ribis derech knas is mutter, provided that it's a one-time fee. It can't be a percentage. It could be a one-time fee, and also it can't give them extra time. It can't say, look, you pay by the 15th. You don't pay by the 15th, you pay an extra 10%. Plus, you get 2 weeks. No, because then he's paying for the 2 weeks. It could be just a knas.
But you
intend
to
stay
as a percentage.
A knas.
That's very common.
I don't recall. I don't think it's a problem. I think where it says percentage is aras, it means an ongoing percentage. Okay. A one-time payment, I think, is always one time. I believe so. I think it's okay. You can check. There's this green book upstairs that would have the things. That's why I remember it. The a one-time fee, if it's Ribis Durabon on Derech Mekach, is penalty. Well, most penalty clauses for business for builders are not enforceable, not in court, not in din. They're asmachta, and then the courts consider them what they call unjust enrichment, which is usually not enforceable. Lawyers can draw it up differently. What they draw up is, instead of a penalty clause, they draw it up as an incentive. In other words, the real price they call the later price, and there's an incentive that if finished by a time, they get a reduction. But a penalty clause on contracting work, and halacha is not enforceable, it's an asmachta, and in secular court generally is not enforceable either. I'm not a lawyer, but I think the lawyers will tell you. It's generally unenforceable.
You don't have to collect the ribbons. What's that? The lawyer doesn't know.
Because the issur of sima. What's the issur? You never collect the ribbons. Because what's the issur? There was no ribbons was paid. Like sash if you aren't either. It's just like the simon. So it's only thinking you're doing an avera is not avera. Thinking you're going to do an avera is not avera. The avera is doing the avera. It's like the simon. That pasuk, like the simon. So that's what they argue. If like the simon, all of neshach is only, it's an isser. If you end up paying, you're over on sima. And if not, not. Well, if it's conditional or without it.
Well, it's not a good,
that's the machlokes.
It's not a good story.
What? No, the sesima is on everybody, I think.
Well, who's putting the neshach?
What do we say? No, it's on the agreement. It's, but they said fairish like sesima. I think like sesima is on everybody. I think it's on the Gemara. No, we said, Yoiva, there was in the Rebbe Kivega counted the lavin. Let's see. Hamal Vaiva Bavav lavin. One of them is like sesima. Halaiva Iver Bebez like sesay. But it doesn't say which two. The base lois say, so let's see. Es kasab ha lois sitain loi b'neshech, that's your oiver. Uve marbis lois sitain, so that's two. So it may well be that he's not over on... it's the last staff and there's our neshech.
Was a good start.
The lois are on daf ayin hey. So you can take a look.
Is it a good start?
You could take a look and let me know.
Yeah, the Senate is not a good star.
What?
Like get about Matthias, right? It's like ribbon. The star is like ribbon. The penalty is like... It's not good.
All right, we're going to go, you know... The Mylan, me mentioning penalty clauses now, is because you hear something once, you forget it. I'm mentioning it briefly. We'll get to all the pratim later, but it's good to hear it a couple of times. And, you know, you have to hear, you know, in a staple set, till four times in the Chazara. So, you have to hear it a bunch of times. So that's the Mylan in mentioning these things in passing. We're not going to learn all of Hilchos Ribis, but hopefully the basic things we'll try to review a number of times, and have at least some memory of the fact that there's something called the penalty clause and that it has separate rules. Sif Tes was trading work or services is also or meals if the second work is more than the first. If you tell somebody, look, you're going on vacation, I'll shovel the front of your house, and when I go on vacation, you shovel the front of my house. So that's mutter, provided that the second snow is not more than the first. The second work can't be more than the first work. The Shulchan Aruch said, I'll paint your house, you paint mine. The second one can't be more than the first. It can't have a bigger market value. It's not over the same one. Okay. So it's not over the same one. So trading is Aser. Halveni ve'elvalach Aser, that was the Ramah. So trading is only Aser if the second one is for more than the first. Right? If it's equal, then it's Mutter. Halveni ve'elvalach, I'll lend you money and you'll lend me money later. That's also even for the same amount of money. I'll lend you $10,000 now, and when you need the 10, you lend me, or whatever it was. We'll trade. So that's also, Rabbi Kivega had his chiddush there, that if it's done, if I say, I'll lend you money, you lend me money, and we did it. I lent you money. I didn't know it was also, you lent me money. So the Rabbi Kivega's chiddush was that you have to pay the ribbis, you have to pay interest, don't call it ribbis, in order to, so the second loan shouldn't be ribbis. You have to pay interest on the loan, which was Rabbi Kivega's chap, which Rabbi Moshe wasn't happy with, but it's a nice thing to chas. Sif Yud, we learned at the last minute of a shir 1 week, so I don't know if you are going to recognize. It's a short sif, and the word mishtar shilei was in the gra. Hanad the mishtar shilei aser. That means, if someone's making a bar mitzvah, and you're giving a gift to the son, if you're giving the son something which the father has no use for, then there's no problem. But if you give him a hanad de mishtar shilei, if you give the son of your malva something which the father would have to buy, instead of the father buying it, you're buying it. You give him you buy him a pair of tefillin, you buy him a suitcase, you buy him, if you buy him a set of Mr. Milio, so the father not necessarily going to would have bought it. But if you buy him something that you buy him, I don't know, a set of Mishnah Berura that the kid will need in yeshiva, so that's Anod the Mishtar Shilei, it's Aser. I was thinking that even if you give him a set of Michtam Eliyahu, it may be a problem. You have to shut up in your mind if there's a chance that the father will ever look into it. Because then it may be a problem itself. I don't know, a set of Michtam Eliyahu. Yeah. Because you give it to his son, the father has enough from it. Maybe. But again, a gift you would have given anyway, we said, is already his mutter. That I want to bear in mind. If it's a friend of yours, you lent your money, you're giving a gift to the son, the bar mitzvah, you would have given it anyway, that we said is mutter. Someone who you don't know, and he just now lends you money, that's where this Isser Mishtar Shilei comes up. Sifir Aleph was Ribbis Devarim. Ribbis of words is Aser. I mentioned Machlaikis of thank you is mutter Aser, but certainly to express it, Mucheres, I know I wrote Kosher, I should have written mutter. Mucheres is mutter. The Birka Yosef, later to say things is mutter because Mucheres is a Chumra, and Ribbis Devarim, that was the Birka Yosef's Chiddush. Sif Yud Gimel we learned last week. All important sif of someone else paying ribbis. Adam Acher Mishalim Ribbis. If it's somebody else paying the ribbis, that's mutter. There were three conditions in the Shulchan Aruch and one in the Taz. The three in the Shulchan Aruch were Leyehei B'tanai Shalai V'Yishalim Lay, right? That the third party could pay the ribbis, but there can't be an arrangement to complete the triangle. That the Leyva will give the money back, reimburse the person paying. And two and three were that the Leiva shouldn't arrange it. Two was Leiva Layoima La Malva. The Leiva shouldn't tell the Malva Pliny is going to pay. And number three was that the Leiva shouldn't be Matthias Pliny, the third party. The Shach said Rishoy Lahakul. But two and three are both similar, that the Leiva should not be arranging it. He should go to his Rav and do it. And the Rav should do it, or any third party should do it. Four was the Tazus Chumra, that someone else could obligate himself to pay ribbis only if it's a flat amount. If it's an ongoing interest, let's say I tell someone, lend my son money and I'll give you 10% a year, and it's open-ended, that is aser, because then in effect I'm the burden of the loan is on me, because that's the chumras hataz. Taz said I could do a straight fee, or I mentioned from the Bris Yehuda that you can do even interest as long as it's limited to a certain number of years, a realistic number of years, then it's mutter. So those are the four conditions of someone else paying the ribbis. So these are the 10 sifim we learned. And I know myself, I'm going to try to review them a couple of times. And, okay.
Moshe says the saying thank you is no good.
Ramesha was again saying thank you. That was the one that Gedalia Yisrael and Michael, and Ramesha was the machmir. But the Tartarima said you say thank you for the tircha. Yeah, that's it. Right, so this is Chazara. Rav Pam told me once that if the Yitzhahara can't get you to learn, it'll get you to not chazar. And that's 100% true. Chazara is sometimes very hard to do, but it's a good investment on your time. All right, Sif Yudalit, I guess we'll get to Yitzhahara next week. What? Lekha Isser. Hello, Isser. You say Rid is not Jewish, even though the mayor may be, and there's no problem with interest. Even if the lawyer owes you a salary, you have to be careful not to make it something over and over.
Let's say would be Jewish.
What?
Would be Jewish, I get interest for a salary.
You can't, you don't get interest. For late payment of salary, you cannot take interest. Sif Yud and Yud Aleph are Ribbis Devarim. People talk a lot about Ribbis Devarim, but it's not complicated. You can't provide services to someone. You. Someone lent you money, so now you're going to do something which people normally pay for. That's Aser. Unless you did it before, you had this once. Right? That anything you used to do before you had a relationship of a borrower, you can continue to do. If you have a neighbor, you always shovel their front. I had an old couple owned a house, two houses over, a couple in their 80s. So whenever it snowed, I always shoveled their...